All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you. Week before free agency edition of the show, as we've now got the combine behind us and everything else. We got a lot on the show today, obviously. Some things have happened in the past few days regarding the quarterback situation in the NFL and all kinds of other things. So plenty to get to here. And since last time we talked, since I didn't have a show last week, many things have happened that we'll get to. But thank you for joining us. Thanks, as always, to the Joes over at Joe Bucks Fan for giving me this platform to let me be here in front of all of you guys on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. And as we look at, you know, what's about to happen next week, so everybody's, you know, playing this waiting game lately and trying to find out, you know, what's going to happen, who's coming, who's going, who's staying, who's leaving, all these things. And on Monday, just to set everything up, Monday at noon is when you're allowed to start talking to people. I guess they used to call it the legal tampering period. And legal tampering, always one of my favorite NFL terms. So you can talk to outside free agents starting at noon Monday, technically. And then on Wednesday is when it is at 4, is when you can officially start signing people and things like that. So we'll get a clearer picture of what the Bucks' intentions are, who's coming, who's going, all that stuff then. But obviously some things have happened in the past few days with the quarterback situation around the NFL that are just newsworthy in general. I don't think the Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson stuff, and even the Carson Wentz news that came down, I don't think that particularly changes much about what the Bucks are doing or were thinking they were going to do. It still remains to be seen, but I don't think much has changed just based on all those things. So we'll get to all of it on the show today. And also want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford before we go any further for helping make the show possible. And if you're looking for a brand new or pre-owned car, truck, van, whatever it is, I always encourage you, and you can do this from the comfort of your home, your phone, your tablet, whatever, the website, BillCurryFord.com. They spell Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can see all the inventory there, everything. And you've got the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing right there in front of you. And you can have a vehicle delivered to you just to test drive if you want before you even make any decisions. You don't even have to go. But if you do, I encourage you to go see the lot. It's right there on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, just north of Hillsboro. It's on the east side of the road. You can't miss it. They've been serving the Tampa Bay area for almost 60 years there, and you'll see everything. I mean, again, it's got not just cars, not just trucks, not just vans, everything pre-owned, new, and all of it's covered under the warranty, which is the best part about all of this, because if you buy a car, truck, or van at Bill Curry Ford, you're covered as long as you own the car with engine trouble. So you don't ever have to worry or get that sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach if you think you hear a noise or something. You just bring it back to the service center. They will take care of you. That's on top of free oil changes and everything, all the service for the first year as well. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, and thanks to them for taking care of us. So the news came down, and it happened fast. Everything, you know, things happen like nothing at all will happen for a while, and then all of a sudden things just, boom, they happen. So the Aaron Rodgers deal, a little alert crawled off my phone. I can't remember where I was the other day. Aaron Rodgers, I think I was coaching Little League or something, if I remember. I know where I was. I was at, my mom was giving a speech because she's does the women's history thing for the city of Tampa, and she was the keynote speaker. Very proud of her, by the way, Jeanette LaRusa Fenton. You can see it on YouTube if you want. But I was over at her speech at the Tampa Bay History Center, standing in the back of the room, trying to watch mom. And then my phone chirped, not chirped, but, you know, I knew what was going on. Real subtle. You know, the mayor's up there. Everybody's up there. Didn't want to make a big commotion. And I grabbed my phone. Aaron Rodgers, 4 years, $200 million, Packers. Okay. Not surprising. So what was the first thing I thought? And we all probably thought, after all the hullabaloo and everything, let's be honest, you don't let good quarterbacks in the NFL just get away. I don't care what the issues are. I don't care about the soap opera stuff. I don't care about the off-field stuff. You're going to keep a good quarterback. They're too hard to come by. The Packers would have been crazy not to figure out a way to make Aaron Rodgers happy, and they did it. That was the consensus, and it's true. Except for a couple hours later then, oh, yeah, Russell Wilson, yeah, they're trading him to the Broncos. Whoa, wait. I thought you didn't let good quarterbacks walk away. So now he goes to the Broncos in a trade that involves a bevy of draft picks, first rounders, second rounders, third rounders, other players, on and on and on and on. Oh, and by the way, if the Bucks were able to make a deal like that, which they weren't, Russell Wilson had some control here. He wanted to go to Denver. Obviously, the Seahawks probably were more than happy to send him to a place outside of the NFC. So this wasn't like the Bucks could have made this deal if they'd wanted to. But hypothetically, I would not have blinked an eye at giving them those things that they got. I would have given, yeah, fine. I would have totally done that. So I think Denver did a good job there to get, again, one of these guys that are very few and far between and are hard to come by, and they did it. Now, you know, I didn't rule out maybe Seattle working something out, but I guess that relationship was too far gone and everybody just needed a change. But still, Seattle can get all the draft picks they want, and it's a big haul. And I know they got Drew Locke also. But they need a quarterback now. They're in quarterback flux. Where do you not want to be in the NFL? Quarterback flux. You don't want to be like, I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. That's not a good place to be. And I guess they were there already even before this trade became official since he didn't want to be there. But, you know, like when the Rodgers thing happened, it's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're not going to let a guy like that walk away. Well, the Seahawks did let a guy similarly like that walk away. And so, you know, kind of contrasting situations there. But nevertheless, after the dust settled, then a little bit later, you know, a day or two later, then the Carson Wentz thing comes down, and that was a trade by the Colts to the Commanders for not quite the haul Russell Wilson got, obviously, but Carson Wentz was a couple of third rounders, and one of the third rounders might change into a second, a pick swap of second rounders, and all that just for the privilege and honor to pay Carson Wentz almost $30 million to play quarterback for them this year, coming from a team that could easily have kept them themselves and decided they did not want to do that. That's how lean it is out there, though. You got teams giving up, like, big hauls of draft picks and big money just for the right to have guys like Carson Wentz on their team when they couldn't get it done against the Jacksonville Jaguars last year with a playoff spot on the line. So, and you know what? And they also have Taylor Heinicke. Who, I mean, is there really a difference between Heinicke and Carson Wentz? Like, I know, I get what the Commanders are coming from because they just, you know, they felt like they had to do something. You know, they felt like they had to show they were trying to do something. But what do they really do? When you look at Taylor Heinicke and compare Carson Wentz and Heinicke side by side, maybe Wentz's numbers were a little bit better. And Wentz can get better. I mean, I'm not saying he's complete garbage or something. I'm not trying to rip Wentz. But, like, this is what teams are doing. This is what teams are doing. And the Colts willfully walked into quarterback flux just to not have Carson Wentz. So, you know, what you're doing, if you're these teams, and this is like I just said with the Bucs with Russell Wilson, like if that price had been out there for the Bucs, although I don't care, 2 years of first rounders, 2 years of second rounders, whatever the hell, I would have done it like that. Like that, like nothing. Wouldn't have even blinked. Because what are you really doing? You're trying to obviously win the Super Bowl, but even more than that, like you're trying to settle yourself at quarterback and you're buying hope. Like think about your outlook as a fan of the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers as it stands right now. If you're like me, you're kind of lukewarm, you're kind of, I don't know, you know, I guess they know what they're doing, but I'm pretty skeptical. Like, you're not excited, like, right now, are you? I mean, I'm any more than I'm excited for any year of Buccaneer football, of course. But I'm not like, hell yes, you know? If we had done that Russell Wilson trade, and even if we gutted our draft inventory for the next 2 years, I would have been so excited now. Everybody would have been up in arms like, oh my God, this is great. There'd be all this momentum, all this excitement. You know, just be, you're selling hope. Like you're saying, hey, look, we got one of those guys. And anytime you have one of those guys, you've got a chance. So the Bucs still don't have one of those guys. They don't have that hope yet. If you look at the situation right now, though, like I said at the top of the show, I don't think it changes much. If you look at who in the NFL now is either set or seems like they're pretty close to set at quarterback, how many teams are left that are not? I'd say the Bucs, now the Colts, obviously, the Panthers, the Saints, and this is all with free agency pending, the Seahawks now, of course, having traded Wilson, the Steelers, and the Texans. Now, the Vikings, as of now, have Cousins, but, I mean, they might, you know, that's still something. He could be moved. And the Raiders, I feel like, are going to stay with Derek Carr now, but you could argue maybe they're still in flux. So you got 7 to 9 teams that are still in that situation where they can't say, yep, we're good to go at quarterback. Not that the other 22 teams are all in great shape. You know, like I said, there aren't 22 studs at quarterback in the NFL, but there's 22 teams who at least are like, yeah, this is our quarterback for next year. For better or worse, hell or high water. So who's out there still? Well, obviously, like I said, for the Bucs haven't changed. They weren't getting Rodgers or Wilson. Deshaun Watson is still out there. Jimmy Garoppolo is still out there. He might be a better fit for the Colts, who won't need Garoppolo to throw the ball to literally every spot on the field the way the Bucs offense works. But Watson, Garoppolo, and those guys are guys that you would acquire via trade. There's still the free agents out there. Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Trubisky is talking to the Giants, supposedly. Fitzpatrick could be had, right? 2020, Fitzpatrick was awesome. 2021, he got hurt in week 1 with a hip injury. He's almost 40. I don't know if he's still, but he's out there. Mariota is another one who could be out there. I don't know. These are just the guys I'm throwing out there. So if the Bucs are looking at one of these names, we'll find out in the next week. If they're really set with Trask and Gabbert, well, we'll find that out too. And there's been a lot of debate on Twitter, at least. And a lot of you aren't on Twitter. That's fine. I'm someone who's on Twitter a lot, reading. I follow a lot of Bucs media and Bucs fans, for that matter. And there's this, kind of lines have been drawn in the sand the past week for whatever reason. And there's a group on one side who are the people who are all about Kyle Trask. Let's give this guy a chance. He showed a ton at Florida. He was a Heisman finalist. I think the Bucs are in great shape with Kyle Trask. The Kyle Trask stands, if you will, to use online lingo for those of you that are in the parlance of our times. Then on the other side of the line are the people who are like, are you effing kidding me? Are we really going to roll into the season with this guy? He's a scrub. I can't believe we're doing this. This guy's proven nothing. He looked terrible in the preseason, the little bit that he did play. You don't just show up with a rookie quarterback like this who didn't even dress, let alone play in a game the entirety of his rookie season, and expect he's going to take you to the promised land, on and on and on and on. Truth is, honestly, we don't know, okay? And by we, I mean literally everybody. We don't know as fans. Jason Light, Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich don't know. Kyle Trask himself doesn't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows, okay? And so whether it's Blaine Gabbert or Kyle Trask, at least with Blaine Gabbert, you do know something, because he's played before. Kyle Trask could come in and end up being really good. He could be horrible. He could be somewhere in between. None of us knows that. We all have our feelings. And again, it's just a feeling. I'm not trying to say I know these things. I don't feel great about him. Part of the thing with this whole debate, the Trask people and the non-Trask people, is the non-Trask people are accusing the Trask people of just being Gator fans. And the Trask people, whether they're Gator fans or not, are accusing the non-Trask people, oh, well, you're just FSU or Miami. You're just haters, That's what it basically comes down to. Well, I am a graduate of the University of Florida and a Florida Gator college football fan, okay? And even as one of those, I'm not that high on Kyle Trask, and I loved him at UF, all right? And yeah, he does have experience not playing and then being thrust into the role of starting quarterback and succeeding very suddenly. And it happened, I was there. I was in Lexington. Me and my family went up to Lexington that night, the night that Felipe Franks hurt his leg and Kyle Trask got called in. And I wasn't even sure he was coming in. I was like, isn't Emory Jones coming in? I thought at the time. I was like, no, I think it's Trask. Trask is coming. Oh, okay, this guy Trask is coming in. Came back and won the game. Went on to have a season that led him to a spot at the table for the Heisman finalists, all that stuff. And it was great, all right? But it doesn't even matter what I think or what you think or even what the coaches think right now. Seriously, it doesn't. Until he gets out there and plays under live fire, we have no idea. Now, I guess it matters what the coaches think as far as if we'll even get a chance to see that or if they still have a plan to go with a veteran or not, whether it's one of these guys like I mentioned or not. And Jameis Winston, by the way, is by far the best quarterback available right now. And I know he's not coming here because of historical things, but if you were just completely, if there wasn't all the baggage, if you were just evaluating free agent quarterbacks by their, who's available, to me, I don't think it's even close. Winston, I know he only played 7 games for the Saints last year, but in those 7 games, he was pretty good, cut the interceptions and the turnovers down quite a bit, and still slung it all over the field. Maybe he still goes back to the Saints anyway, I'm not sure. But either way, we'll see if the Bucs are really going to try this Deshaun Watson thing. The Jimmy Garoppolo talk has cooled off. And other than that, I already did the whole show on this 2 weeks ago. It's not just not a good spot to be in. It's unfortunate. I feel like that, that Weezer song, The World Has Turned and Left Me Here? It's not one of their bigger ones, but I think it's on their Blue album or whatever it is. And the whole song's about how, you know, it's about breaking up with a girlfriend. But basically, it's kind of like about us and Tom Brady, because we got to do this whole cool thing for a couple years, and now here we are back where we started. Obviously better off for having had the last 2 years, but no further advanced than we were 2 years ago, except we've got that Super Bowl ring tucked away. And that's great, but as far as 2022 goes, yeah, you don't ever want to be a team looking for a quarterback. You just don't. Not these days in the NFL. And so we'll see very soon what the situation is here with free agency starting next week. And it won't be quarterback won't be the only position, obviously, that needs to be addressed. Offensive line and things like that. We'll find out their intentions as far as, you know, with Ryan Jensen, for example, bringing back guys like Alex Kappa and some of the, you know, guys further on down the trough like Aaron Stinney or whoever. On defense, what's going on over there? You know, the Bucs, I forgot, so much has happened. Chris Godwin getting franchise tagged, that happened too since our last show. So you've got him there sitting there with his one-year deal. This time it's going to be $19.2 million. All of it counts against the cap. Unlike if you do a long-term deal, in which case you can spread it out. Now, the Bucs can still... See, they franchise tag Godwin, okay? They can still have him signed. They have another week to do it, or until free agency, you know, if they want to do that. And they can still sign to a long-term deal, so the negotiation doesn't necessarily have to have ended. I don't know how likely that is, but if he does stay on the franchise tag, one, you're not using it on Carlton Davis now. Two, more of Godwin's money's counting against the cap. As opposed to if he signed, even if it was a $100 million deal for whatever amount of years, it would still count less against the cap this year than all of that $19.2 million. But then you got the offensive line to worry about, and obviously Ollie Marpet retiring. That happened since our last show, too, and I've been thinking a lot about Ollie Marpet. And first of all, I applaud him on a phenomenal career, 7 years in the NFL. He did great things for the Bucs. A second-round pick out of a tiny college none of us had ever heard of called Hobart, and he comes in day one, instant starter, performs at a high level, was one of the best at his position his entire career, made a Pro Bowl for the first time this past year, obviously won a Super Bowl, got to play guard in front of Tom Brady, and that basically, that's what it all came down to. He said that he, you know, physically didn't want to put his body through it anymore, that he had accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish, and that he didn't feel the need to do it anymore. And I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, I'm a guy, I'm 41 now, but as a guy who's grown up through my teens and through my 20s and even as a kid, you know, you idolize professional athletes, not as individuals. I've been one of those guys who idolized pro athletes, you know, because they were pro athletes. Maybe I should say I idolized the lifestyle. Like, if you ask any guy, when they're like 15, 16 years old, if they could do anything they wanted, what do they want to be when they grow up? What do you say? Pro athlete, man, of course. Maybe some would say like rock star or rapper or something like that. But I mean, like that to me growing up, and even as a 41-year-old still, I think if I could do anything, if I could be anything in life I wanted to, I'd make myself 6'2", like 205, with a 4'4", 40 and a 40-inch vertical, and I'd play wide receiver for the Bucs for my whole life. It'd be great. That's all I'd ever want to do. Why would you want to do anything else? You know? I mean, that money, sports, chicks before I was married. Don't anyone but my wife now. But you know what I'm saying? Like that, like to see guys just voluntarily stop, and I'm not criticizing it in any way, but I always thought about it. Like, wow. Because there's nothing in the world most guys would tell you they'd rather be. And every single guy, not maybe every single guy, but almost every single guy, you listening to this, me, everybody else, okay, eventually stopped playing sport. I still play sports at an amateur level for fun, but I'm not talking about rec league stuff or semi-pro stuff. But we eventually stopped playing sports when we were young. And why was that? For almost every one of us. Just like they said in the movie Moneyball. Eventually, we were told we weren't good enough. It wasn't because we just wanted to stop, right? Like, I don't care who you are, and maybe you thought you wanted to be this, that, or the other, but if you had a chance to play D1 college football or you know, sign a big contract in baseball as a high draft pick out of high school or whatever, almost all of us would have done that, right? At some point, it might have been, you know, middle school, it might have been high school. Some guys went on to play in college, but at some point, you got told, okay, this is the end of the line. Because it's like a male fantasy, isn't it? If I'm wrong, correct me. I mean, maybe some guys are like, nope, I wanted to go to law school even when I was 10, never thought about anything else. That's great. But there ain't nothing I'd rather, even right now. Right now, if the Bucks called me up and said, Bobby, we're going to pay you $20,000 a year, okay? Nothing. You can come play for the Bucks right now. I'd be like, wait, you need me to pay you $20,000? I'll go see if I can get it from the bank. And they'd be like, no, we're going to pay you. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'd be rather right now. Like, I'd go right now, buckle my chin strap. Knowing everything I know about CTE and all that stuff, my ass would be over at one Buck place in less than 5 minutes if they called me up. Obviously, that's not happening. My point is, when I think of Ali Marpet retiring, I have nothing but admiration for him. Because, I mean, you look at his career, $37 million in career earnings. Over $30 million of that was just the past three seasons. Like I said, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl, got to play with Tom Brady. And after having done all those things, I thought more about it. I totally get it. I mean, and he said he feels pretty good right now, and that's the point. It's kind of like playing blackjack, I guess, where, you know, you really should quit when you're on a heater, right? Like, and nobody ever does that. Like, I've been playing blackjack where I was up a couple hundred or whatever, and I should have stopped right then. But, of course, I didn't stop till after I had given that back. And, oh, now I'm going to stop because I'm losing. But really, you should stop when you're on that heater. You're feeling good. You're ahead. Why chance something happening? I don't know what it's like to play in the NFL or college. I do know what it's like to play high school football and semi-pro football. But even at those low levels, I remember both, and this is a funny thing, like, I remember both not really liking playing football and also not being able to imagine not playing football. Like, when I was in high school, I hated practice. Like, every day at school, school was hard enough, and then, you know, you're always tired. The teenage years, you're tired, you need a lot of sleep. And, you know, that bell would ring, I'd be like, oh, God, you know, practice now, it's going to be another 3 hours, get home by whatever, 6, 6:30. It's hard, like, that's just high school, it is hard. And I remember, like, we would have practice, obviously, all season, and then in the second semester after Christmas break, we'd have conditioning and weightlifting, which wasn't as bad, but still was an after-school thing for a couple hours, and that would go all the spring semester. There was, like, a little window, I remember. Like, after our team, I went to Jesuit in Tampa, played for Coach Dom Sio and Coach Wiener. And I remember there'd be, like, that little 2-3 week window, whatever, after Thanksgiving, after we got eliminated from the playoffs, but before Christmas break started, where we didn't have anything after school. Like, where we literally went to school and didn't have any commitments. And me and my buddies on the football team would look at each other like, oh, my God, that bell would ring at 3 o'clock for school being over. And we'd be like, are you serious right now? We get to just go home? Like, that's it? It was the easiest thing in the world. It really is. Just going to school isn't that hard. Just playing football isn't that hard. Doing both when I was in high school, that was hard. And I remember it was like some sort of fantasy land, like those few weeks in December when it's like, yeah, bell rang, you're done. I'd be like, this is nothing. I could do this. Like, I always say this. I don't. Not everybody's got to be a football player. My kids need to have some sort of extracurricular thing because, you know, it does teach you to one, just be able to slog through whatever you got to slog through, and to two, manage your time and all that stuff. Not that I did those things that well back in high school, but I couldn't believe there were kids that went the whole year, all year long, and just went to school and went home at 3 o'clock. Like, that seemed unconscionable to me. And those few weeks where we got to do it too were unbelievable. And so I could see totally with Ali Marpet or any of these guys. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. Because once you get to $30 million, I mean, I know some guys are like, all the money. I mean, Ali Marpet was set to make another double-digit millions of dollars and could have done that just by playing for another season. But once you get to the 30-something million mark, I could say, I mean, what's the difference? That's more money. And we hear all these huge numbers thrown around, and we always, like, say, oh, the money. And I don't know, maybe I'm simplistic in my thinking, but, like, 30-something million is more than you, your kids, and their kids could ever spend. Like, it's, you don't have to chase extra million. That's why I always, you know, people always say, oh, these free agent contracts, well, these guys are going to come up with more money. We're talking about literally nine figures. Who the hell cares? Play where you want to play. One team's offering me 150, but these guys are offering me 165. Oh, okay. I mean, does $15 million mean anything at that point? I mean, maybe I'm naive, but you know, he doesn't have to worry about anything. But, I mean, I could say, like, as far as being a football player just in high school. And even semi-pro, which I've done even as recently as a couple years ago. And I don't know why I do it. I just have this draw. I want. You know what it is? It's just like working out. when I'm working out, whether I'm squatting or bench pressing or, you know, deadlifting or whatever, anything I'm doing, I'm not like, hell yes, working out. This is awesome. I work out all the time. I work out 4 or 5 times a week. So people must, that from afar, say, hey, Bobby likes working out. No, no, I don't like working out. Working out sucks. I like having worked out. Same with football. Football games I did like. I've never once liked football practice. Never once been out there at football practice and wanted to be anywhere but done. Okay? Ever. And that goes as a coach or a player. And yet, you do it over and over. Well, he must like it if he's doing it over and over. No, no. I like, just like working out, I like the way I feel after I did it. Or look after I did it. I like having worked out this morning. I didn't like it this morning. I don't want to work out this morning. I don't want to work out tomorrow morning. But I can't fathom not doing it. And I know, even though it would be easier, I would feel worse on the whole as a human being if I didn't do it. And that's how I felt about playing football. And I'm sure a lot of football players probably feel that way, but you do it because it's the only thing you ever thought about doing. So it's pretty cool to see a guy like Ali Marpet be like, yeah, cool, got my 7 years, didn't get hurt, got 30-something million, I'm good to go. And so I don't blame him one lick. I'm surprised you don't see it more often. I know Andrew Luck did it, which, by the way, if he wants to change his mind and come back and play for the Bucs, we could probably work that out. But good for him, and I wish him nothing but the best in retirement. In the meantime, we'll see if the Bucs can replace him and others somehow coming up in the next week or so in free agency. If you want to email me, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I've gotten a few good emails the past few weeks. Email me at bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday. BobbyGameday@yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter. You can find me at BobbyGameday. The Combine. I was watching the Combine this week, like always. Always enjoy. Again, this goes back to my, you know, penchant for working out. I like physical testing, physical capabilities. I love seeing the guys bench press, vertical jump, you know, the 40-yard dashes, all that stuff. And I did, as I do every year, you know, try to do, I didn't do all the things. It's hard to set all that stuff up, but I went and did the 225 max rep bench, and I got 8, which is a little off my PR, which is 10, but I haven't benched much lately. I think if I would, see, here's the thing about the Combine. People don't realize, these guys do nothing but train for the Combine for that period after they're finished with their college football season up until the Combine. So you see all these 40 times, and they're 4.3, 4.4, these ridiculous times. We just assume that's what they run. And, you know, you can really make a difference with very, very fine. I mean, the line is so fine, you know, a few tenths here or there, or even a few hundreds here and there, just from training. It's not even that you got faster, but, like, you can train the starts, the right. I mean, they have these guys, these trainers that, you know, you say, hey, I want to run a faster 40. They will specifically train you to run a faster 40 because they know that literally could be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, riding on the difference between a tenth or two. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but do you remember when they had that free agent combine a few years ago in the NFL? And it was already existing NFL players who had been in the league for a while, like a veteran combine, and they were free agents, and they wanted to get some numbers and stuff like that to post so that people could, you know, see. And guys were running, like running backs, I remember, were running like 4.8s and 4.9s. A couple guys didn't break 5. And these weren't washed-up guys who sucked. These were guys who had been playing in the league as recently as that prior season. And so people were like, whoa, these guys suck. And no, even these guys you saw running 4.3s, 4.4s, and they're fast, okay? But you get them a couple years from now, not because they're older, just because they haven't specifically trained for the 40, those times will go up. You know, if you're really, really dialed into one specific goal, whether it's the bench press or whether it's the, you know, three-cone drill or whether it's the 40, you can make some headway in a few months training just nothing but that. But, you know, if you took an average running back, not, you know, the best or the worst, just an average running back off the field, and had them run a 40, it'd probably be mid to high fours for any of these guys. And I'm not talking about like a 30-something-year-old, even a guy who's 26, 27 years old, just because they, you know, they haven't been training specifically for that. And even training for speed is not the same as training for the 40, which is very specific, highly technique-driven. That start, those first few steps, these are all things you can do that don't actually train, that you're not actually getting faster as far as how fast you run. You're just getting faster in how fast you run the 40. But I got my 8 reps on the bench at 225. I measured my hand, which doesn't, you know, or shouldn't change much, right in exactly 9 inches. And let me tell you something here. because I saw that Kenny Pickett, who's the number one quarterback supposedly, he came in at under 9 inches. It was like 8 3/4 inches for his hand size. You know, there's certain old wives' tales that you know are old wives' tales, and that, you know, in modern times we know they're not true and you don't put stock in them anymore. But then there's a few old wives' tales that whether you want to admit it out loud or not, you secretly believe in your head. I am completely 100% on the small hands thing. I do not like quarterbacks with small hands. Because as someone with 9-inch hands, and I'm a 6-foot guy, my hands aren't like small, but they're not huge either. But even throwing the ball around with my son, like we go in the driveway and play football, and we'll toss around. I've got the junior size football for him, so it's not like the peewee size, but it's not the regulation. It's like the mid-size one for like, you know, like the Under Armour Under the Lights Flag Football League, like the middle school size one. And I'll toss that ball around with him, and it feels so good in my hands. Like, I throw these tight spirals. I can chuck that thing way further than I throw an NFL football. And I say to myself, when I'm doing this sometimes, like, man, for someone with 9.5-inch hands or even 10-inch hands, like some of these guys have, this is what a regulation NFL football feels like, or a basketball. Like, imagine if that's what the ball felt like for me, only that was regulation size, because I feel like I could be a pretty good quarterback. Not in the NFL, but I just mean like throwing the ball if you gave me that small football. But with my 9-inch hands, a regulation NFL football, I can throw one and I can throw a spiral, but it feels big in my hand. Like, it's just like my hands don't feel big enough. I can't palm a basketball or something like that. So if I'm a team looking for a quarterback and I was one of these GMs or scouts or whatever, and I know I'm not supposed to because it's been disproven or whatever, and they, oh, this guy had small hands and he succeeded. I don't care. That one sticks in my head. I want a quarterback with freaking bear mitts. He's going to be able to hold on to the ball easier. He's going to be able to throw it tighter, farther, harder. He's not going to fumble when it's wet. Better grip. That one is stuck in my head. That one I know, even if I'm not supposed to think it, I definitely believe in the small hands hype. But Kenny Pickett will still obviously get picked very high. And if I was the Bucks and had a chance to pick him, which they won't, but even with the 8.5-inch hands or whatever the hell he has, I would still take him. I remember Sean King, he was one. That was a concern, supposedly, when the Bucks had him. Although the Bucks offense couldn't whiz a drop no matter who was quarterback back then. But the small hands thing matters to me. That is something that I definitely would not be able to get out of my head if I was in a decision-making position for an NFL team. But we've got plenty of time to get into the draft and stuff. Free agency is what's on the plate right now. So when we do our show next week, we'll have had, you know, the opening will have happened on Wednesday, and we'll know a lot more by then and see what the Bucs have done, if anything, about the quarterback position and, of course, all the other things that will be coming down. We'll see about all those things. In the meantime, I want to thank you guys for listening. Just like always, I really appreciate the chance to be in front of you. Thank you to the Joes for giving me that chance and putting me on this website, the single best place for Bucs coverage anywhere. JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to our friends at Young Bull Athletics. If you're looking for athletic training specifically for you, call my friend Gary Spencer. Just go to the website, YoungBullAthletics.com, and he'll hook you up from there. They also have group fitness or just programming if you want to work out on your own but have a program. They can take care of all that. And in the meantime, have a great weekend. Enjoy. Well, first of all, it's Selection Sunday, which I love. I love conference basketball tournaments, which are going on right now. The SEC tournament's here in Tampa. That's a fun one. So enjoy all those things, and we'll have our brackets by Sunday evening and get ready for all that, too. It's a fun time of year in sports. Enjoy it. I'll be back next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.